Welcome to
the Plant-Based Podcast.
In case you didn't know already, plants are amazing. You can
eat them,
wear them,
drink them,
nourish your skin with them,
grow them,
love them,
and be inspired by them. So why not join us on the Plant-Based Podcast as we speak to the movers, shakers, and growers in this amazing plant world.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Launched in 2019, their award-winning liquid fertilizer and soil conditioner is made entirely from maize. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg. Enter PBP15 for a 15% discount as a PBP subscriber.
So we have a very special podcast episode for you all today. Now, we know that the pandemic has cancelled so many events, of course, and that means that our much loved RHS gardening shows also have been cancelled. I honestly have those dates in my diary the second they are released, because, you know, in the UK our gardening shows are second to none, and I'm out here in America and I've been to a few garden shows around the world, and honestly you cannot beat the RHS gardening shows. And when they kick off, it's like the whole horticulture world just starts buzzing. But fear not, because the shows might be cancelled, but a very exciting new way to enjoy the show that tops all shows. That's right, the Chelsea Flower Show is going digital, and it starts tomorrow, Monday, the 18th of May. Very exciting. So on this podcast, our guests are Jill Otway, who Michael chats with shortly about some exciting plant news. But first, let's find out all about the virtual show with our first guest on the episode. It is Sue Biggs, the Director General of the RHS. Welcome to the podcast, Sue.
What an introduction. I shall have to live up to that one.
You will. There's no pressure. Don't worry. So this is all very, very exciting news. And, you know, everyone's heart sank, didn't they, when it was like everything's going to have to be cancelled. And obviously you had to put the news out there that the shows are going to be cancelled. I mean, up to a certain point in the year at that time. And genuinely, I felt so sad, you know, and so I know so many other people did as well. So anyway, we will talk about your idea of the virtual show and what's happening very, very soon. But just to get started, so all of our listeners know, I'm sure everyone already knows who you are and all about the RHS, of course. But can you tell us a little bit about you, Sue, and your role at the RHS?
So, yes, I joined the RHS 10 years ago as Director General. So it's my job to lead the organisation and overall in charge of all of our gardens and shows and science and education and community outreach. So it's a really varied role. I love it. It's just I'm a passionate gardener anyway. So it's I know it's a cliche, this, but it is a job.
It's not a cliche. Have you always loved gardening?
I've been very lucky, actually.
Have you always loved gardening?
Okay. When I was seven, my mum gave me as my seventh birthday present a square yard of our garden. And I must admit, I thought it was a really miserable present because it was a square yard of earth and a packet of dusty brown seeds and a little metal trowel. And I wasn't at all impressed with that as a birthday present at seven. But she just told me, wait until it's your big sister's birthday, which is in the middle of June. And she was right. The seeds had come up. The flowers were all different colours, all the little Virginia stock. And I was just besotted. So I've loved gardening ever since. When I left the travel industry, that was in 30 years, which is my other, I've been a member for years. And it was just a perfect, perfect, lovely job.
That's amazing. You know, I know, like, our listeners are going to laugh when I say this, but every single guest that comes on our podcast says pretty much the same thing. Their love of gardening started when they were a child. Almost every single guest says that. And even if they haven't been working in horticulture or they've come back to horticulture later on, that memory is still there. And, you know, it all started when
it's
they were
embedded,
young.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. Shows the importance of it, definitely. So, you know, things at the RHS must have changed so much, you know, after the whole announcement about lockdown and the pandemic and everything. Like, how have things changed at the RHS and for you as well? How are you all working now?
Well, I mean, it was such a, as it was for everybody, such a terrible shock and definitely the most difficult decision I think I've ever had to make as DG at the RHS, because you feel such a weight of responsibility about Chelsea Flower Show, because it is at the centre of the horticultural calendar worldwide. It's not even just the UK. So we're so close to all of the exhibitors, you know, the landscapers, the designers, the growers, all the trade stands, and to know that we're going to, you know, blow a hole in all their plans for this year was a terrible thing to do, but it was absolutely the right thing that we had to do. For there's no way we could have helped Chelsea with any level at all of public safety. So since that time, and as you say, then full lockdown came very, very quickly after that. We have about half of our, just over half of our staff have been furloughed, and the other half are still working. So of those, about 450, they're still working. Some of those are working at home very well. It's amazingly, we're all getting a bit fed up of Zoom meetings, but other than that, it's working really well, actually. And the really lucky ones, I have to admit, being more than a tinge jealous of our curatorial teams, who are staying in the gardens and having a whale of a time with no visitors, none of us there meddling in what they're doing. And I only live about 10 minutes from Wisley, and our curator there, Matt Pottage, sends me photographs every now and again to keep, because it's real pangs of missing it. Mm. It's just sad to not be there. I mean, I've worked there for 10 years, and before that, I've been a member there for another 20 years. So it's like a big hole in your life when you can't go, whether it's to Wisley or to Chelsea. They're sort of right embedded in your heart. So it's been a strange time. But I think the day after we had to cancel Chelsea, we decided we were going to do a virtual Chelsea. So we've had 8 weeks. It makes me laugh, really, because we all sort of looked at each other on Zoom.
Said, of course.
Does anyone know how to do a virtual show? And none of us had ever done one before. But anyway, we have a fabulous marketing team, shows team, digital team, comms team. So everybody in the RHS has pulled together to do all sorts of different things and some great advisory for our members. And then, of course, on the first day of Virtual Chelsea, all of the content is exclusively there for members. So we're trying to sort of mirror the real Chelsea Flower Show online. So Members' Day is always the first. So we thought online should be as well, to thank our lovely members for staying with us, because it's a very tough time for us financially. We will lose multi-million pounds this year. And as a charity that doesn't get any government funding, that's a pretty unpleasant state to be in. So we are eternally grateful to, if anyone is watching this who is a member, thank you for being a member and staying a member. We couldn't do everything that we do without your membership. It's the very heart of the organisation. So thank you all.
Oh, well, everyone wants to support the RHS. You know, we love the shows that you put on and all of the gardens. And so it is really important to try, you know, and help out in any way that we can. And I know that it's so tough for so many people. But, you know, gardening for me is my passion, and I need the RHS to still be there, you know, so don't go anywhere.
I do too, don't worry. We plan. But yes, if everyone stays as members and persuades a friend to become a member, we'll still be there and we'll still be, you know. I hope Virtual Chelsea helps that, because strangely, I think quite a lot of people don't know we're a charity. I think they think, you know, that we run shows and we've got lovely gardens. But I think if they knew more and more about what we do, our scientific research into the environment, pests and diseases and plant health, all of the stuff that we do of teaching children to garden and the qualifications, and then all the community outreach like Britain in Bloom. Mm. So every time you buy anything from the RHS, whether it's a membership, a plant, a show ticket, you are actually contributing and helping us to be able to do that work. So it's we can't wait to come back with the real Chelsea next year.
Well, we can't wait for you to come back either. I love Britain in Bloom. I love all the community aspect of Britain in Bloom. And
yeah.
I used to work with the guys at Anglia in Bloom, and just watching all of the communities come together and just make amazingly resourceful activities happening in local communities and getting people involved is just, I mean, it's just, it was absolutely amazing. It's a shame, obviously.
It's really inspiring and moving, isn't it?
So much.
And, you know, there's not many lovely things about this virus and the outbreaks. Mm. And I'm sure that combined with people discovering the real power and need for gardening during this time as well.
Yeah.
People need their gardens to be able to calm down and relax and enjoy and be back at one with nature. So those two things together, I hope after this that actually gardening will be in a much stronger position, especially community gardening.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Fingers crossed that every cloud's got a silver lining.
I've got my fingers crossed on the Zoom meeting. Like, sometimes I forget I'm recording this. Like, Sue and I can see each other, but obviously no one else can see us. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. Like, we're missing going out and seeing the RHS gardens and other gardens and people and having all of that contact. But I was actually thinking this morning before I came on the podcast, what about all the plants? So in the gardens, they're all coming out to bloom, and they must be like, but where's it? Where's all my fans? Like, you know, where is everyone?
Showtime, I'm here.
Yeah. It's like no one opened the curtains. Anyway,
let's have a look, you see, on the RHS website and on social media, because we have lots of lovely photographs and films, actually. There was one we had done a couple of weeks ago, Wisley from the Air, that was so moving. Honestly, it reduced me to tears because I missed Wisley so much. And they put a drone up, and absolutely, it was just so gorgeous. Almost like being there.
Oh, and it's such
and that's what we hope virtual Chelsea will be. Almost like being back at the show.
Well, I think that it's time we talked about virtual Chelsea, that I'm very, very excited. So tell us all about it. You know, what's happening? What kinds of things can people view? Like, how will it work?
Well, it's just, I mean, it's Monday to Saturday next week. I can't believe it's Monday next week. Not quite finished it yet, but don't tell anyone. Nobody's listening to this at all. So everybody's working frantically hard, and the programme is basically over those 6 days that we will put the content on at the beginning of every day. So what's common to each day is that there will be a children's kids club in the morning every day, and there will also be every lunchtime a gardener's Q&A. So we'll have people like Matthew Wilson coming along, and some of our curators doing it. And those will be, you know, you can send in your questions in advance and they'll answer all of those. So I'm sure that'll be a very popular slot. But each day we've then got themes, and there are shows going to be opened by our president, like he does the show normally, Sir Nicholas Baker.
I love that.
Alan Titchmarsh, who's one of our VPs, is going to say something about the RHS. And at the end of the show, I'll close the show. And in between, we've got some fantastic things. So there's different, lots of different people have, I mean, amazing. They've been so wonderful to show us unique and private things. So, for example, we have a film of Monty Don in parts of his garden at Longmeadow that you don't see on Gardener's World, going to feed his chickens in the morning.
I was going to say, hang on, are these the outtakes? Because we all really just want to see the outtakes, like the bloopers, you know, when he swears or when he gets something wrong or drops something.
No, I'm afraid he filmed this specially for us. It's not an outtake. And then Adam Frost is going to show us parts of his garden. So there's lots, Sarah Raven into her cutting garden. We've got lots of celebrities and brilliant names who are going to show their garden to us. Then there's going to be lots of things like of potting benches, of how to do things. There's going to be florists. So Jonathan Mosley's going to be there, for example, and he's going to show all different ways to use flowers, obviously. And some of the best parts, I think, are going to be the nurseries, because some of them have actually recreated what they would have had in the Great Pavilion in their own nursery and filmed it all themselves. So we'll see people like Rosie Hardy talking through there. Raymond Everson is showing us his clematis, nursery. It's more like a farm, really. His clematis nursery in Guernsey. Let me think who else is on that. David Austin.
Nice, the roses.
Showing us of how they get ready for Chelsea and all their beautiful rose fields. So there is just going to be so much interest. So there will be people talking about their how they miss Chelsea. So I think people will find, whether it's for Grow Your Own, there's a lot of things coming for Grow Your Own. You're going to see other things coming of people who are going to challenge us of what we could do. So, for example, we're going to have the results of competitions, so viewers can actually get involved. Of Plant of the Year is one of them, and Chelsea Garden Product of the Year is another. And I don't know whether you know about my Chelsea garden. Did you? I don't know whether over in the States, whether you watched the one show two Fridays ago. It's very exciting. So this is, we would, when we decided we would go for the lunacy of creating a show in 2 months, and everybody was just so brilliant, whether they were a landscape. Well, that's another one. Mark Gregory's doing a film of the new gardens coming at Wisley. So that's another great film that's come through. But we thought it would, if we couldn't have the real Chelsea, where normally about 168,000 people are lucky enough to attend, we thought if we can't do that, then why don't we make it that everyone could be part of Chelsea? So apart from virtual Chelsea, which will go obviously all through the UK and around the world for anyone who'd like to see it, but we also decided to do My Chelsea Garden as a competition, which has got four categories. Anyone can enter. And that's my front garden, my back garden, my indoor garden. So that's conservatories or balconies. There you go. There's for you. Balcony.
Yay!
Anything to do with houseplants or that's yours. Or kids corner. So that's going to be judged during Virtual Chelsea Week. And the judges are Monty Don, James Alexander Sinclair, who's, as you, I'm sure you know, I'm a designer and also our head of show judging. Alex from The One Show, and me.
Yay.
So that's going to be fun, judging the gardens in those four categories. And then the winners all get four tickets to Chelsea, the real Chelsea, next year.
That's amazing.
So that's good fun to be doing too.
That's, I mean, it, this,
nice to share it around.
Yeah, it sounds like a packed week. And there's a few things that stand out for me, like what you've just said, is you're still trying to get the visitors involved. So the people like this, getting involved in what you're doing, so like with the competitions and the school garden or kids garden, that kind of thing, that is super important. But also, someone asked me, well, I'm here in the US, for anyone who doesn't know, not that I've not shouted about that loud enough, but I've been asked quite a lot about small nurseries here, or you know, garden centers, any kind of, like, you know, flower farm kind of thing out here, and how are they being supported? And well, I haven't seen anything. I haven't been here like that long, so I don't know the horticultural industry here that well, but I haven't seen anything. But what I have seen in the UK is this huge support from both the public and from the RHS and from industry, who've all come together and really, really, you know, pushed out there the importance,
yeah,
of horticulture, of small nurseries, of, you know, doing everything they possibly can to help those companies. And I haven't seen that here, but that sounds, you know, Virtual Chelsea is doing that as well, because you've got all those people involved, and, you know, you're still,
yeah,
that's brilliant. I mean, that's, the RHS are,
it's very inspiring,
awesome at that,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, when we did cancel Chelsea, the people I felt most guilty about were the nurseries, because we've got such a fantastic nursery industry in this country. And it's everything from a family business that's gone for generations right up to brand new mega business that's got all the technology and, you know, creating huge volume. And, you know, this £24 billion industry of ours is one we should be really proud of. So when we had to cancel Chelsea, we straight away put all of the nurseries that would have been at Chelsea onto our website with links through, promoting the fact that all their wonderful Chelsea product was available direct from the nursery. And some of the nurseries, I think, have done a cracking job themselves. They may not have actually had online sales before, but they certainly have now. And I think the smaller nurseries are doing very well. In fact, some of them are running out of plant stock now. so many have they sold. So that's great news for them. But where I am still really worried is on the big nurseries, because, you know, a lot of those really big nurseries are supplying bedding plants, you know, annual stock, and time is running out for them to get rid of that stock. Thank goodness, finally, this week, after lots of pressure from the industry, from the HTA, from Ornamental Roundtable Group, from the RHS, lots and lots of us really pushing, NFU as well, I know, was really pushing to get the garden centres open, and they opened on Wednesday this week, which
Hooray! Is fantastic.
That's really good, but it doesn't really help the big guys to get through this volume of stock, because they've lost the main gardening buying weeks. And, you know, clearly the annual stock is not going to last till next year. So we're still pressurising the government to really look at stock compensation schemes for the nurseries, because other industries are having those sort of deals, like the fisheries. You know, they're being paid for their lost stock. And I think it's only fair that we keep pushing the government to try and achieve that for our industry.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, horticulture is, like you just said, a massive industry that needs supporting. And if other industries are having some form of at least conversation, if not compensation, then horticulture needs to be in that. And actually, that's one of the things that the RHS, you do. You know, you're doing that, you know, lobbying for the industry. And that's part of why it's so important that we're all supportive of the RHS, you know, because you deal with this other stuff that maybe we don't all see all of the time, but you're always there supporting the industry. So that is
awesome. We
are.
We're like busy little bees behind the scene trying to help the industry.
Currently busy bees behind Zoom. So can you tell us how and... You know, how do we actually watch Virtual Chelsea? Where do we find it? Where do people go to see it?
Well, it'll be across all of our social media channels, but I would suggest you start at the website, because you will see it all beautifully laid out there. And as I think I said at the beginning, each day we will load all the content. So it'll be up to you then to see, you know, which gardening celebrities really interest you. Do you want to look at a nursery? Do you want to look at a designer? So you'll be able to meander around the day's content and really be able to see what turns you on and learn things and be inspired by things. And, you know, I was just looking at the weather forecast. It is unbelievable for next week. So I can't think. I think everybody has to sit as close as they can to their garden, because I can't see my screen in the garden, so that's no good. So close to the garden, see the garden, have a Pimm's or a glass of bubbly in hand, and meander through the coverage and imagine you're at Chelsea, because I hope it really does. I've seen a lot of the content and it's so inspiring. It's actually very special, because it's not BBC quality footage. You know, this is everyone doing it at home on their own. And I can assure you, being on my own, that trying to film yourself is not easy. If you could have seen me earlier today tying my iPad to my step ladders, then you can imagine some of the things that go on trying to make a virtual Chelsea. But it's I really hope that everybody loves it. So as I say, the members get exclusive access on the Monday, but all of that content from Members Day will be available on Tuesday for everyone else.
Okay.
But if anyone is a member who's listening to this, I would just recommend that you go and check you have registered yourself on MyRHS on the website, because you won't, just because you're a member doesn't mean you can just get, you will have to go through MyRHS. So you can be a member and not register for MyRHS. So that's really important. Everyone does that beforehand.
Okay, that's a good tip. If you're an RHS member, make sure you're registered and you get to see everything first. Okay, that just all sounds amazing. Like, I was just thinking the other day about all the designers, you know, of the show gardens. They plan these for so, so long, don't they? And will they be back next year? Like, what happens next year? Do you have plans already afoot?
I mean, Chelsea 2021 is all in development already. So everyone who has been or who was due to be at Chelsea 2020 will get a bye, to use a sporting analogy. They'll just get the bye straight into Chelsea 2021. I imagine not everyone will want to, either financially the circumstances have changed, or as in our own case, we had a garden this year that was due to be there to celebrate the International Year of Plant Health, well, of course, that year is gone now. So there's, you know, we won't be doing that again next year, but we will be doing our friendship garden, which is the one that Joe Thompson has done with Zoe Ball.
Nice.
So that will be coming back again next year. And we expect the majority will come back, but that, of course, still means plenty of space for new entrants for 2021 as well. And we already have several gardens already in the mix for 2021, brand new gardens. So it's going to be a very exciting show, I think. And I think it's going to be a very emotional show because everyone is so desperate to get back together again. We all want to see each other. I mean, it's like a huge family Chelsea. And, you know, to be able to have us all back there and the BBC there again, because they're missing it as much as we are. I saw some of them yesterday and they're just missing everything about Chelsea at the moment. So, yes, May 2021 will be a wonderful month for us. I mean, for British horticulture, it will be too, because it will be, you know, the world's best flower show back. But 2 weeks before, we will have opened Bridgewater.
So we had
to delay it because of coronavirus, but we have madly decided to open our fifth garden 2 weeks before Chelsea. So there's no pressure there then. The month of May will be wonderful.
Why not? What's wrong with a little bit of pressure? I mean, we're all just sitting at home on Zoom, aren't we? So, you know, bung it all into 1 month next year. You know, like you said, Chelsea is the world's biggest garden show and everyone is missing it so, so much. So what you're doing with the virtual digital version of Chelsea is exciting. I can't wait to see it. And I can only hope, like you've touched on, that during this whole awful situation that so many more people are interested in gardening and growing their own food. And I know that online searches for gardening, grow your own food, indoor gardening have absolutely skyrocketed. They've gone up something
crazy.
Like 500%. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's madness. So I can...
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It is unbelievable and exciting.
Yeah. Well, I tell you one thing for from now on, we are definitely going to be after government and developers and builders. They have to put garden space into housing. They've been getting tighter and tighter and less space and less space. It has to change. This is beyond any citizen scientist project that we could ever have dreamt of. This has proved we need to have gardens, and they can't, even if they can't all be private gardens, but community gardens have to go in.
Yeah.
So we will be, once we've hopefully got through this, we will be on the warpath about that.
I love that. On the warpath to get more green. You know, it is. Green space helps us thrive. We know it. Science has proven it. And this situation right now has backed that up. I mean, like, this is the ultimate experiment in whether people need nature or not in their lives. And they do. So thank you very much, Sue. I'm very excited about next week. It's been a pleasure to chat with you. What are you doing next? Are you going out in the garden? Have you got more meetings today? What's your plan?
No, funnily enough, I've got another Zoom meeting.
Have you? Okay. I won't keep you any longer then.
Actually, I have got 10 minutes free. So I might go in the garden for 10 minutes.
Go for a walk around the garden.
Tea in the garden for 10 minutes with my dog, Maddie.
Oh, have a lovely...
Right, well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Have a nice walk around your garden with Maddie. I think all pets are very happy about the current situation because they've got their owners at home more, right?
God help us when we all go back to work, but never mind.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
All right, Ellen. You take care.
And you. Thank
Cheers.
You. Bye-bye.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg.
Right, Ellen's told us all about virtual Chelsea this year, but I'm now here with Jill Otway, who's also from the RHS. And I've met Jill many times over the years as I've often kind of been frantically running around Chelsea showground, kind of putting in my Plant of the Year entry. And we want to talk about Plant of the Year, but obviously that isn't going ahead this year, but there is something that is going ahead, which is Plant of the Decade. And that's actually something that the public can get involved in. So Jill, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Michael. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Lots of great virtual ways to do things.
Well, we're friends on Facebook and you've worked out how to make a lot of virtual cocktails, I saw. But you're quite known for your cocktails, actually, aren't you?
Strictly in my downtime.
After 5 p.m. or maybe 4 on a Friday. So tell us about yourself and your role in the RHS and then kind of how that relates to Chelsea each year.
So I've worked for the RHS for 10 years and my official title is Plant Committee Manager. I manage our seven plant committees who are made up of volunteer experts from different plant groups. They come from every corner of horticulture. They are commercial people, professional, amateurs, breeders, growers, suppliers and exhibitors. And their work includes involvement in our plant trials, plant and people awards, like judging, shows and lots of outreach events that we do. So they work really hard to help us inspire people to grow. And they're, I always call them my precious treasure chest of knowledge for us and the horticultural community to draw on.
Cool. So you're often involved in Chelsea because of Plant of the Year, and that is a contest that's been going for, is it 10 years now?
It is 10 years, Michael, yes, yeah. And I know exactly because the first one that I was involved in with no horticultural knowledge was about a month after I started with the RHS.
Oh, no way.
And it's an interesting experience, and I've been kind of increasingly involved ever since, and now project manage it, basically.
Okay, so obviously this year it's not going ahead because Chelsea is mainly virtual, but I do want to talk about Plant of the Year for a little while because it fascinates me because it's a really interesting contest. It's kind of, for me as a plantsman, it's kind of a key part of Chelsea, and it's certainly the area that I beeline for every time I walk through the show gates. And I've been really lucky to work on a few entries over the years when I worked with Thompson Morgan. And we actually won one year with the Foxglove Illumination. So that was pretty cool. But tell us kind of a little bit of the criteria around Plant of the Year and how that usually works. And also why it was started up as well.
It was started initially as a way to showcase new plants being launched at Chelsea by nursery exhibitors, so promoting advances in breeding and bringing those exciting new plants to the public and supporting UK nurseries. Mm-hmm. But they were the kind of key reasons for it starting. The criteria, it's got to be a new plant. It can't have been seen at a public show before, so it's its first outing to the public. It can be have been sold online since after the previous year's Chelsea, so give it a little time to be established.
Okay.
So it's open to exhibitors in the Great Pavilion. They're launching new plants at a public show for the first time, as I say. They've got to have a specimen plant of show quality to submit to us, because we have a display in the Great Pavilion of the shortlisted entries through the show week for visitors. But it's also got to be, they've got to have additional plants as an intrinsic part of their design on their exhibit. So it's not a plant that's just bunged on the exhibit just so it can enter Plant of the Year, basically. Each exhibitor can submit up to 5 entries, but a maximum of 3 of any one genus, because we might like 50 petunias, but we don't want a whole Plant of the Year to be petunias. So there's a kind of a limit in that. And I, over the 10 years of the competition, we've had plants from every plant group, including fruit, vegetables and herbs, although it's not a terrific time for a lot of those. We've had all sorts of interesting entries, as I know you know.
Yeah, I think it looks great when you look down the winners list over the years, because you've had everything from the dwarf mulberry to the houseplant Streptocarpus, rockery plants, herbaceous perennials, annuals. Any bedding plants have ever won? Not sure, actually.
They've featured pretty highly, Michael.
Yeah, third place for the sunflower, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay, and how does it work then? How does the whole process work? Because I remember we had to submit what we wanted to put in April, and then you would either let us know if it was in or not, and then we have to bring it down on the day. Can you just run us through that kind of process and also let us know who judges the competition as well?
So I communicate out with the exhibitors at the beginning of each year and ask them if they've got any new plants they want to submit, send them the criteria. It's an online entry form that they complete. And so when that process is done by the deadline date, we get, on average, I suppose, about 40 plants submitted each year. The number of plants, new plants launched at Chelsea is higher than that, but for one reason or another, they might not be eligible to enter the competition. So then we check them for kind of correct naming, whether they actually have been seen before. Then the exhibitors deliver their specimens to the showground on the Saturday before the show. The next day, we have a bunch of experts who assess all the entries, so basically lined up on tables, as the plants, not the experts. and they consider three main aspects. They're looking at innovation, primarily. So how is this plant new and an improvement on what's gone before? How is it exciting? Or does it have a new feature, a new colour break, or a new disease resistance, that kind of improvement in the breeding? And they're also looking at excellence and impact, the quality of that plant in front of them, right then and there. But also the impact that it would have in a garden setting. Mm-hmm. And finally, appeal. And that's one of the most important things. It has become one of the most important things, I suppose, over the years. Will it be popular? Will the public want to buy it? Will they want to grow it? Will it have lasting appeal rather than just being a one-hit wonder or something, a bit of a gimmick? Mm-hmm. It's got to be something okay. that is in the judge's eyes, in the assessor's eyes, something that is going to work and going to be worth that all that work behind that breeding.
Okay.
So those plants are looked at and whittled down to the top 20.
Okay, this is on the Saturday, isn't it?
The plants are delivered on the Saturday, and then this is Sunday morning.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The shortlisting meeting happens. Those 20 are selected by a voting process, and those 20 are put on display in the Great Pavilion for the duration of the show for visitors to see. Then the next day, on press day, we have a special finals event, and exhibitors of the shortlisted plants have to pitch to an audience of around 100 experts, which is a scary prospect for many of them. Then those experts vote for the one they think best meets those criteria.
Wow, that's so cool. And I know I've presented a couple of times for those pitches, but I've also been lucky enough to be a guest every year. And it's really, yeah, some people get super nervous because you're suddenly in front of all your peers and you've got a pitch for your plant in, what is it, 90 seconds or?
90 seconds.
Yeah, that's not long.
And we're very strict. We because of the tight schedule of activities going on press day at Chelsea and the various commitments of the people that are attending that event, we have to make it an hour maximum. Mm-hmm. So they get 90 seconds each. We have a big red sign that we hold up saying 10 seconds left. I will stand up and literally go when it's time and cut them off. I'm afraid we are strict.
Yeah,
he gets treated the same way.
And then the winner's then announced by about lunchtime, isn't it? And then moved into position, isn't it? Pole position on the stand.
Absolutely. So in terms of who makes the selection in the shortlisting, we invite the assessing panel is the chairs of the seven plant committees, our RHS president and director of horticulture, and our RHS garden curators. Mm-hmm. So, and at the finals event, the audience is made up of plant committee members and our plant trials forum members. So there's over 100 of them. Uh-huh. voting for these plants, and we do a top three. Mm-hmm. And then a sort of 3-2-1 reveal, which is all quite exciting.
It is cool. It's quite nerve-wracking, even if you're not involved.
Yeah.
It is the moment, because this is the plant of the year. It's the one that everyone will then want to buy, the one that gets lots of promotion, and kind of out of thousands of plants that are bred around the world every year. Even to get to final 20 is quite something, isn't it? So, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, I've had feedback from the connections of those shortlisted plants. So even being in the shortlist, it means something.
Yeah.
And over the years, I was going to say notoriety, it's probably not the right word, of the competition has spread far and wide, because I have queries from, well, globally, saying, how can I get my plant into Plant of the Year? Because it has proven to be, a serious competition with impact for the winners.
And how much do you feel the appearance of the plant on the day counts? Because, you know, May, what if the plant isn't something that flowers naturally in May? Will you account for that when you judge it? Because the plant might have needed to be forced on for that flowering period. And it's not always easy with a lot of plants. So it's kind of, you know, almost, you know, 25% beauty pageant and then 75% criteria almost, isn't it? So how do you get around that, or is it difficult?
Well, it is difficult, but then Chelsea is that sort of rarefied place where things that naturally outside of Chelsea bloom all through the year miraculously bloom at Chelsea, don't they? So whether they're forced or not, they are, that plant that they're entering is going to be on their exhibit. They're not going to put it on their exhibit if it's not in flower.
Yeah, very true.
It's not looking at its best. So they're not going to enter into Plant of the Year. And it does restrict... exclude some things that are really very seasonal. Having said that, one of the winners was a plant that wasn't in flower, because it ordinarily will flower late summer to through the autumn.
But its criteria kind of fought through. Yeah.
But it was a good-looking plant nevertheless, and we have photographs of what it looked like in flower. And I think it's obvious other qualities were enough for the judges to say, yeah, this is a winner and has potential to be superbly popular and a great plant for people to grow, even though they couldn't see the actual flowers.
Yeah. So that was which one was that? Which plant?
You know, it has to be, you would want to be looking at a top quality specimen plant. Mm-hmm. We ask for show quality plants, because if it's good enough to go on their exhibit, we should be looking at a similar quality plant.
True, and also the fact that it could be forced out of season kind of shows more of the plant's versatility as well, which is obviously a plus point. So yeah, how about any surprises over the years of what you feel has won? Because I remember the year the Streptocarpus won, it was like there was gasps around the room. It was really unheard of, because Streptocarpus is still quite below the radar, really. But what, any that have surprised you? Either way, ones that you felt should have won, or ones that won that you were like, what?
I have to go back to the Mahonia because it wasn't in flower, and yet it was still, all things considered the best plant.
It was a breeding breakthrough, wasn't it?
And the fact that it had this beautiful soft foliage, it was on a sensory garden for the charity Seeability, which is a charity for visually impaired, and it just, I suppose, captured their attention because of the sort of plant it was. It is very different from your usual sort of thug Mahonia. It was compact. It had this lovely soft foliage, the promise of great flowers, and it was a manageable plant for today's garden. And again, that's why I think why it was chosen. It does pretty well in my garden, I have to say.
You sneaked one in. But winning Plant of the Year obviously means a lot to a plant's commercial success. And we saw that with the Digitalis Illumination. I think we sold 250,000 within a week. You know, and we've just had a show on QVC last week with lots of past Chelsea winners, but also hopefuls as well for this year. So I don't know how far down the line you were with the contest this year. Did you have any submitted, or you weren't that far along with things?
not really that far along with things, although we did have a couple of submissions and a lot of other interest in that, you know, yes, I'm going to enter my plant, but to be fair, I get that every year. And then the submissions don't come in till much nearer the deadline. They don't always appreciate the amount of admin that goes on in the background, leaving it to a deadline day. I think... you know, there's been a lot of inquiry about what will happen for the plant of the year for next year. And so we're looking at maybe including the plants that would have been submitted this year.
That's interesting.
Because we want to give them exposure as well. So we'll be looking at that in the autumn and seeing how we work things next year.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but we had on the Chelsea show on QVC last week, we had 9 of the hopefuls, so ones that Thomson Morgan and Sutton's had hoped to enter this year. And I did a competition on my website for people to vote for what they felt would be the winner. And the top one, I don't know if it would have performed the same at the show, but it was the Jacaranda Bonsai Blue, which is a new dwarf jacaranda. Yeah. So, yeah, I just had my own kind of little fun people's choice kind of plant of the year. So, yeah, that could be a prediction of what wins.
I knew about the Sutton's interest, actually. So I've been in communication with Sutton. As an interesting plant.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see if they enter it next year, if they're able to enter it next year, we'll see how it performs.
Well, they've already got the Plant Geek Award, so, you know.
Well, then, what do you think?
So we've obviously discussed Plant of the Year, which is a fantastic contest, but that's not going ahead this year. But with Virtual Chelsea about to kick off, you've actually got Plant of the Decade as a competition that can be seen on the website. People can actually vote for at home. Can you tell us about the mechanics of that and how many plants are involved? Kind of how does that all work, please?
I'd always planned this year to do run a Plant of the Decade competition to celebrate the first 10 years of the Plant of the Year. So we were always going to have that featured at the show and have a display of the 10 previous winners, so 2010 to 19 winners. And it's actually converted very well to a virtual platform because we don't necessarily need those live plants. We have all the information about all those 10 winning plants.
Do you have videos as well, or you've obviously got pictures of those?
Photographs and descriptions. They are still all available to buy, so there will be links on the website if anybody wants to buy those plants. So that will lead to a list of suppliers, and they choose who they want to buy from. So it did convert very well to that virtual platform. And also, I'd always intended for it to be a people's choice vote. Rather than that expert's choice that we run as Plant of the Year. Back in 2013, we ran Plant of the Centenary in similar...
Yes, lines. I remember.
It was 100 years of Chelsea at North Hospital. And so run in a similar way to that. So we'll be opening a vote from Monday, I believe. That's running all through next week with the coverage of the show, the virtual show. I wanted to involve our president. So we've also got a president's choice winner, which has been selected. And obviously, my lips are sealed. That will be announced by the BBC during their coverage of TV coverage of the show. And then after that, we will be revealing the result of the people's choice. And it'd be really, really interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they all have, I mean, they're all amazing players.
They're all so different as well.
They're all winners. They're all so different. They all have great qualities. They're all great performers. One of them, actually, the Streptocarpus, did go on to be given an award of garden merit by the RHS in 2012 as a quality performing plant. So And they're all still available. They're all still selling well, according to their suppliers and connections.
Yeah, but I think it's great because it really is a people's choice, because it will be voted for, in some instances, by people that have actually grown them, which is different to a normal plant of the year almost. So it's like... It's super good, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And although it was 10 years of the competition last year,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to wait a year to
give
the winner a year's chance to be promoted and grown by people and get into the public eye. So it's the ideal time now, I think, to do it and, engage the public in this great virtual show.
For sure. And if you could, what would you vote for?
Oh, wow. That would be telling. I couldn't possibly comment. Actually, do you know, I have no idea.
Yeah. How many of them have you grown yourself? I know you say you got the Mahonia, but have you grown many of the other ones?
Actually, I have the Sedum at home that won last year, a couple of plants.
Oh, the Atlantis.
I'm not the world's greatest gardener.
Though. These plants need to be versatile.
But not for wanting them sometimes. So I don't get a lot of chance to garden. But I think, I do know obviously which plant the president went for. It's now up to the public to choose their favourite.
Be interesting if it is the same.
Right, they should choose them, I think, because they'll be buying them. And, in doing so, they'll be doing their bit to support nurseries and garden centres and keep them in business at this really difficult time. Never Fear Plant of the Year will be back bigger and better at Chelsea 2021.
Super. And so this year for Virtual Chelsea, people go on to rhs.org.uk. And when is the Plant of the Decade up from? Is it from Monday?
It should be up from Monday, the 18th. And the vote will close on the 22nd, Friday.
Okay.
And the result will be announced the following day. So, you can check out the contenders and all the other amazing content in Virtual Chelsea, either via Google or rhs.org.uk/Chelsea.
Okay, super. Thank you very much, Jill. I can't wait to attend this virtual Chelsea Flower Show.
It's going to be fabulous.
Definitely.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again really soon.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Are you looking forward to Chelsea? Virtual Chelsea?
Yeah. Are you looking forward to getting out of that cupboard? Ellen's recording in a cupboard.
No, actually, it's a closet, don't you know?
Don't you come round here with your trash can.
I've got all the American words. All the American words now.
I'm looking forward to Chelsea. It's going to be super different this year, but I think a lot of how it is this year in terms of virtual, I think it's actually opening up a lot of different opportunities that weren't there before. So yeah, it's going to be cool.
I think it's also good when there's obviously lots of people around the world who can't get to Chelsea ever, even when it is open, and they'll get a little taster for it, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Yeah, and I know with the obviously we've talked to a couple of guests this episode, and I know with the Plant of the Decade, it's really unique that the public can now vote, which is really cool. And if you had that in the live show, it wouldn't be as easy to do that. So it's nice that it's moved online. And I see more information on, like, they can have interactive Q&As and kind of more. There's a bit more to do with schools this year as well, isn't there?
Keeping schools engaged as well, which is just as important. I was also thinking that it might pave the way for doing similar things for garden shows going forward in the future. So even when a garden show is on and we can all go visit, it would be amazing if people all around the world can still get that taster, even though the show is still on. Do you know what I mean? So still have some kind of virtual show around it. That would be pretty cool.
Do you know, it's amazing, all this bad stuff, but there's so many cool, new, innovative things coming out of it. I quite like this kind of forced innovation, because it really creates, I don't know, 18 years innovation in 18 minutes, doesn't it? It's
it does.
Interesting. I think really interesting.
It's both forced and it's natural because it's like in you. Like everyone's creative. Yeah. And everyone can be innovative and everyone can be creative. But it's just when you're going along the same path all the time, you know, the pressure of life and everything that's going on, it's not so easy to be creative and innovative sometimes for some people. But this is like just letting it all come out, you know?
Yeah, well, it's always easy not to for all of us because it's comfort zone and stuff. But the minute you're out of that, you do think differently. And that's totally what's happening.
Do you know, a friend of mine many years ago, who is sadly no longer with us, and she passed away from breast cancer a few years ago. One of the last things she actually said to me was, live creatively and be out of your comfort zone. I always remember her saying that. Always travel along out of your comfort zone, because that's where you will find yourself and your creativity. So
it gets addictive. Like when I just say yes to everything and it scares you, but that feeling of afterwards knowing that you pushed yourself and you then developed because you pushed yourself is just, it's addictive. It really is.
Absolutely.
As is McDonald's.
So you really want a McDonald's, right?
I really fancy McDonald's today. I'm so sorry for that curveball.
is McDonald's not open in the UK?
I'm not sure. I was going to have a little drive later and see, but I think it's a combination of not having had McDonald's, but also I've been doing a fast today. And when you do a fast, you know, kind of you can't stop thinking about food.
Why are you fasting?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's good for me, isn't it? I don't know. Is it not?
I don't know. I think...
I don't know.
There's so
my
many...
boyfriend told me to do it, so okay,
so you're doing it. He said, so you're going to do
it. I'm under the thumb.
Anything to feel connected when you're apart. I don't know.
I still do what I'm told when we're apart. It's like, what the hell?
I don't think I could fast, Michael. I don't think I can go an hour without eating something.
Get out. So, Chelsea, what are your memories? Have you ever been to the Chelsea Flower Show, Ellen?
Are you having a laugh? Do you know, the last couple of years we've been together and we've spent a little bit of time walking around together and recording, and then we've gone off and done our own thing, and that's actually been really relaxing and enjoyable. But I think there are a few things that really stand out at Chelsea for me. One is the absolute exquisite quality of the floral marquee. You can't, like, you just don't see that anywhere else. And I've being here in America, and I've been to a few garden shows before lockdown. In the UK, we absolutely nail gardening shows. There are no better gardening shows that I've ever been to anywhere in the world that are anything like Chelsea or some of our other gardening
shows.
Yeah,
you're right. You really are.
But Chelsea Flower Show really is absolutely top class. And when I go into that floral marquee, it never ceases to, like, take my breath away. It's so exciting. It's just like you walk around, it's like, oh my gosh, these are amazing. Oh my God, look at these alliums. Oh my gosh, look at these delphiniums. Like, nothing. Like, it's just a big ball of excitement. So I love the floral marquee.
Oh, me too. Like, obviously, being a plantsman, I've been kind of looking out for new plants there for, my God, I don't know how many years. Maybe 20 years. No, I can't have been to Chelsea 20 times, could I? I don't even actually, Ellen, remember when I first went?
You probably have been 20 times then.
But when I do remember when I was like 18, 19, going down to the RHS London shows, and it used to be a little day out for me to then go and travel on the tube and... Yeah. Oh, actually, I remember, because when I worked at Thomson Morgan, we used to have a seed stand there. So I used to work on the stand.
That's
cool. So probably 4 or 5 years of working on the stand, and then like 15 of being like normal visitor. So,
So going back to the beginning then, when you did, say, work on the stand, how have you seen Chelsea change? Like, how has it progressed over the years? What differences have you seen?
I think more exciting, more innovative. I think I saw that in a lot of the London shows, and then they almost used those as test grounds for what to change at Chelsea. Plant of the Year is obviously a big thing that we do talk about in this episode as well. That really kind of elevated the plantsman, kind of the plant status, because to me, like, I don't really notice the gardens that much. I mean, I do, and I like the plants that are in them, but in terms of design, and I'm not a garden designer, I know what I like, but I don't know what looks good necessarily. But yeah, so it's kind of, it's really developed and become more well known.
But what looks good to some people in garden design looks good is different for different people. So it's about you and how you kind of interact with it and how you view it. And I feel like it's always such a privilege to be able to go on the press day, because there's so, I mean, there's so few people.
It's so quiet,
you can stand and look at the gardens for hours if you wanted to, and you can look at them in every detail, and you won't be fighting people to see them. But then as soon as you go on the other days, there's always so many people there, aren't there? So it is a bit of a privilege.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you, but I just, in my head, I just thought of this new phrase of how we can describe something.
Okay.
I don't know if our editor will take this out or not, but like when somewhere's really quiet in public, right? You could call it COVID quiet. So you could use that forevermore. Like if you've got like, if you're running like an event and there's hardly anyone there, you'd say it was COVID quiet.
Do you know what? I genuinely think that going forward, COVID or like coronavirus or pandemic, those words will be used so much more in everyday life for one thing or another. I'm sure of it. When this is all over. Okay, so basically Chelsea this year will be COVID quiet because there'll be no one there because it's not open.
But I won't get to put a suit on. Like, it's the one time of year I always buy a new suit. Like, don't go thinking I waste loads of money. I buy them off ASOS. And last year I did a live try on as well. It's always nice to wear a little suit and look a little bit plush, you know.
Oh, that's so cute. Have you got grey hair in your beard?
Yeah, how do you know?
I can see it from here.
You can see it.
Yeah. Look, really? You've got a little patch of grey hair in your beard. That's so cute.
That's what I bought a beard straightener.
Oh, that noise you can hear is actually Michael brushing his beard. Wow.
I can now be one of those girls that leaves their straighteners on and has this little panic in the middle of somewhere. Like, oh, look, my straighteners on.
That's so true. Someone sent me a picture on Facebook the other day, and it was a doormat. So when you leave the house, you look at the doormat as you leave, and it was like, have you got your keys? Have you closed the window and check your hair straighteners?
I'm a nightmare. I have to set reminders, not just to close windows, but to remember that I've got something on the hob sometimes.
That's really bad.
Distracted.
Do you?
But the worst thing is, I'll set an alarm for something and then forget what the alarm was for.
Ellen. Okay.
Did I ever tell you about the year that we were desperate to get the plants of Foxglove Illumination into Chelsea Flower Show Plant of the Year?
Yeah.
And we were desperately kind of searching around for them. And we got the licensing company to help us source some plants. And they came up trumps in a couple of ways. So they drove these plants across from Hook Van Holland to Harwich, and I picked them up from them. But we also had a kind of second plan with some plants that were being grown in Barcelona, because you need to have these good-looking plants on the stand to have a chance of winning. They need to be in flower, obviously, a little bit out of season. So the Barcelona plants were hopefully a winner. And we sent a girl from the office called Terry on a Ryanair flight with... what was it? I think we booked a spare seat as well, because we booked a spare seat for her to then bring back these plants. So so we actually like went so, you know, hard to get these plants. And of course, it paid off, because that was the year that we won Plant of the Year.
Yay.
So, but it just proves that it's got to be an innovative plant, which it was, and you've got to have good looking plants on the day, you know, and that's... When I spoke to Jill about Plant of the Year, it really is that combination of innovation, but also, you know, that beauty on the day. You know, it has to really impress the judges. Yeah, and we went to not quite the ends of the earth, but the ends of Iberia.
Did you really bring them all back on a spare seat on the plane?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
They were in a box. They
did develop the seat belt round them. Did they get served their lunch?
Yeah.
And snacks.
Because obviously it's quite hard to transport plants. You know, they had to be upright. You know, it was not easy. And sometimes it might have seemed a bit extravagant, but actually compared to the faff of, you know, trying to get a, you know, a courier, for that to go wrong, for someone not to handle it well, you know, just easier to go there yourself. I remember when I was first joined Thompson Morgan, I actually flew to Scotland. It was one of my first trips on my own to collect a really unique star-shaped petunia when I was only 19.
Wow. Yeah.
And I just went on this EasyJet flight. So it's, yeah.
The original plant hunter. That's what you are. That's what you are. Thanks for bringing such amazing plants for us all to grow in our gardens.
No worries, darling.
Very good. Tell me one thing about Chelsea. Who is the biggest celebrity you've spotted there yet?
I don't know, because I don't really get starstruck by anyone.
You'd have to be starstruck to have spotted someone.
Sunita.
Yeah.
I've never seen her there.
If you walked into Louise Redknapp, Dua Lipa, or anyone from Bananarama, you would be a quivering wreck.
How dare you know me? yeah, I don't know, but it's always very weird when you see a celebrity in real life, whilst you're not starstruck, you do a double take because it's something that's so familiar to you, and for a moment your brain can't work out why. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I've seen all sorts of celebrities there, like Joanna Lumley, Cumberbatch?
Benedict,
yeah. I don't know, anyone you could name, really, even though I can't name them.
Everyone's there, even if they don't actually like gardening, they'll be there because they want photographs.
Yeah.
David Walliams walking around holding his mum's hand, who was very pleasant to me, which was sweet. And who else? I saw Trevor Nelson, who was looking particularly uninterested at one of the gardens there too. but yeah, anyway, that's always good fun.
I tell a lie. I don't know if you know who Cherry Healy is.
Yes, I do know Cherry Healy, yeah.
Yeah, she does various presenting. That factory programme.
Yeah.
We had a little exchange on Twitter, I don't know, a few years ago now. And then I remember going to Chelsea and walking around the flower marquee, and we kind of clocked each other and recognised each other and screamed at each other and was like there, and then we met. So yeah, we were as starstruck by each other.
Oh, get you.
I felt so famous for that split second because she's got 100,000 followers, you know.
To be fair, Michael, when I walk around the floral marquee with you, you're being pulled here, there and everywhere, and people are like, oh, it's Mr. Plunky, come here, can we have a picture? The amount of times I was asked to take a picture of you with someone, like I was your PA. It's like, okay, sure, I'll take a photograph, yeah.
But I think that's just a combo of knowing a lot of the press, because, you know, I was hosting the press at Thompson Morgan since I was 18, 19 years old. Then being quite well known in the industry from suppliers and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's kind of... But sometimes you do want to go around in a disguise because you just want to, you know, go around.
You just want to look at the plants. Just want to have a look at the plants and admire them and see the displays. But anyway, massive shame, isn't it, that the garden shows aren't on, but I'm loving the fact there's a virtual Chelsea. I know there's going to be coverage on TV as well, so hopefully everyone around the world can have a bit of a slice of Chelsea this year, and that is really exciting.
Yeah, defo. All good has come from something a little bit bad, so yeah.
I agree.
It's blossoming, Ellen. Blossoming.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Launched in 2019, their award-winning liquid fertilizer and soil conditioner is made entirely from maize. Naturally rich in nitrogen, potash, phosphate, and other trace elements that plants and vegetables love, it is approved by the Soil Association, Vegan Society, and Organic Farmers and Growers. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg. Enter PBP15 for a 15% discount as a PBP subscriber.
Thanks for listening. You should now be at least 25% more obsessed by plants.
Please follow us on social media. You'll find us by typing in the Plant-Based Podcast.
We also have a fabulous website. Go to theplantbasedpodcast.net.
So tell your friends, leave a review. Why not write a letter to your local MP? Please spread the word about the plant-based podcast.
Oh yes, see you next time, plant friends. The theme music for the plant-based podcast is an excerpt from the song Grow by Mikey James. And our editing is done by Gareth Patch of Semi-Echo.